For those of you who haven't been here, what we're doing is we're going through a little booklet that we put together a few years back called the Healing Confessions. And it's different scriptures about different things, have different titles. I will not give up, supernatural strength, Jesus has done it all, redeeming from a curse. There's different ones. And so today I was supposed to do Jesus did it all. So that's what's in the computer. But what I'm talking about isn't that. I'm talking about redeemed from the curse. So when you came in, I gave everybody a little separate piece of paper. Normally, at the end of my talk, what we do is we go up here and we read that confession out loud, all together at once. Because it's not in the computer, you have it in your hand. Makes it a little bit harder to read it all at once in unison, but we'll give it a shot. Okay, so at the end of the thing, just go by ear, just kind of rough it, okay? So what I want to talk about is overcoming the curse. And the curse is, you know, what we have fallen under with Adam. Adam made a boo-boo, and he blew it and did things, messed it up, and got kicked out of the garden and all that fun stuff. And so when that happened, we fell under a curse of sin. We're all prone to sin. Anybody not prone to sin? I think everybody is. I mean, it's pretty easy to do, isn't it? I mean, it's easy for me. When that fall happened, we needed to be set right. We needed to be set back in right relationship with God. And so in Romans 3, 22 and 26 says, "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." This righteousness means you're in right standing with. If I'm having an argument with Barry, he and I are not righteous. We're not in right standing with each other. But when we get in right standing with each other, then we can communicate, we can have the blessings, we can do the things we need to do. And so it says here that we have that righteousness when we believe in Jesus Christ. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And it says there's no difference. We all have. You don't find anybody in this world who's perfect. It just doesn't, Kyle lies, so he's not perfect. He's back there raising his hand. It's me. No, it's not. And are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Jesus Christ. So we're set back in right relationship with God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So it's been taken care of. Jesus Christ took care of it. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Okay, in other words, he paid the price that was required. Okay, he did this to demonstrate his justice because of his forbearance. He had left sins committed beforehand unpunished. Because of his love for us, he hasn't punished us for the things that we've done wrong, the things that we deserve to be punished for. And I'm thankful for that. I hate being punished. I hate, anybody like, no, don't tell me, okay? He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. He justifies us. And the way that works is that there's a story I heard about a guy who got a speeding ticket. And one of his friends was a judge. And so he called the judge up and he says, "Hey, I hate to ask you this, but I got this speeding ticket. Could you take care of it?" And the judge said, "Sure." Okay. So he went along a little bit, and he ran into him a while later on, and he ran into the judge. He said, "I want to thank you for doing it, writing off that ticket." He says, "Oh, I didn't write it off. I paid it." And he says, "You paid it?" And he goes, "Yeah." He says, "Well, I didn't want you to pay it." And he goes, "I'm a judge. I'm required. Did you speed?" "Yes." "Then the ticket needed to be paid, not just dismissed. And I took care of it for you. I paid it." And that's what God did with us. We blew it. We blew it. And we deserve to be punished. But we didn't say, will you take care of it? Because we didn't know. We were dumb. Adam and Eve were in the garden. Now think about this for a minute. Adam and Eve are in the garden. They're given one rule. One rule. Don't eat off of that tree. That's it. Just don't eat off that tree. And they couldn't even keep that. They blew it. Romans 5, 18 and 19 says, consequently, just as the result of one trespass or one sin was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life to all men. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, that's Jesus, the many will be made righteous. It only took one man to blow it all. That was Adam. And it took one man, perfect man, Jesus Christ, to set things right. Now, if you read this whole chapter 5, it says, okay, Jesus took care of it all. Where's your opportunity to boast? You don't have one. And I thought about that, and I thought, wait a minute. But you know what? We'd probably all boast when we get a chance if we had all the opportunities to do that. You know, it would be like if you'd done some great deed, you kind of secretly want people to know you did it. No? Get set things right? To right something wrong? I've told you before, I had an opportunity to go to my 50-year class reunion a while back. And I was going to go, and I wanted to wear my collar. I don't wear it here because it chokes me. But I wanted to wear that collar, and I wanted to talk about 43 years in the medical field. And then I realized I was going for the wrong reason. I was trying to show off for them so they would be impressed with me and what turned out. And it's like, what? You're not impressive. Get over yourself. And so it was there. And so what the scripture says, it says, there's no room for boasting because you didn't do it. God did it through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. He died for all. And we no longer live for ourselves. He gave it to us. When we were at our worst is when he gave it to us. He forgave us before we even were born. That's the cool part. I mean, think about the time in the scriptures here. This is the time when Jesus was walking the earth. That was 2,000 years ago. And he knew what you were going to do wrong. He knew what you were going to do wrong. We don't even know what we're going to do wrong. But he did. And he forgave us in advance. He forgave us in advance for what we were going to do. In Galatians 3, 26 to 28, you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You are all sons and daughters through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you feel like you're worthy to be the son of God? The daughter of God? You know everything you've done wrong. Do you feel guilty? For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. When we get to that point, there's not going to be any, I did this because I'm a Jew. I did this because I'm a Gentile. It doesn't matter. But, oh, I'm a man. So, there's no male, no female. We're all exactly the same in Jesus Christ. And that's about the coolest thing there can be. Kelsey can wear a better dress than I can. But that doesn't matter. Not when we get in the presence of God. And that's pretty awesome. 1 Timothy 2:5-6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. What's a mediator? Mediator is somebody who keeps the peace, right? Go between. Kelsey and I have an argument. Barry's our go between. Keeps it on track, keeps it in the right perspective. So when we get fat headed, Jesus is there to go, I took care of that for you, okay? Oh, that's right. It wasn't me, was it? Here, let's squeeze that head back into shape a little bit because it gets kind of fat. The mediator of Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. A testimony given in its proper time. If you read through the Old Testament, God's laying out pictures, laying out the plan, how things are going to happen, what's going to take place, what's going to be this, that, and the other. And at the proper time when the stage was set, it was a perfect time for Jesus to enter the world, do his ministry, and be killed. He came at the proper time. Not too late, not too soon, but just at the right time to bless us. God wants all of us to be saved. God wants all of us to be saved. That's why he sent Jesus and died once for all, so that we all are. Hebrews 7:27, unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. The high priest had to go through rituals. They had to offer up a sacrifice every morning and every evening. A sheep, a goat, something like that for the morning, and again for the evening. And then they had other Passover sacrifices. That's when you got to bring your Passover gift and sacrifice and have it offered. I read one statistic that said that one time they calculated that at one Passover, there were 200,000 sheep sacrificed, sheep and goats. It was an assembly line. A lot of sacrificing going on. But he points out that Jesus didn't need to do that. He sacrificed for us once. He didn't have to sacrifice for himself because he was the perfect sacrifice. He was the perfect one. And we get to go through life blessed. You know, God wants us to enjoy life. Have you ever thought about that? God wants us to enjoy life. And God wants us to enjoy his presence in our lives. He gave us the Holy Spirit to be with you all the time. Think about that. All the time. Not just once in a while. When you go to the market, Jay went this morning to Smith's, got some good bargains. God was there in the Holy Spirit, showing him what to do. Jay walked over here from his house this morning. The Holy Spirit walked with him. Some of you drove cars. The Holy Spirit was driving with you. Everything we do, the Holy Spirit's right there with us because God wants us to enjoy his presence because he enjoys us. Have you ever thought about that? God enjoys being around you. When you're walking from your house to church, God enjoys being with you. I was driving in this morning and I was going down the street and I looked up and I saw the sun coming over the mountain and the clouds and just the radiance. And I just thoroughly enjoyed it. And God enjoyed it too. You look out into the space, and you look at all the constellations and everything out there, and how gorgeous they are, and all the colors, and the way they work. One of the things that surprised me, galaxies will hit. But what they do is they do a little dance, and they rearrange everything as they go through and come out the other place and keep going. It just works out that way. God loves it. God loves us. and enjoys being with us. That's why he sent Christ, to make sure that we knew and that we know that he likes our presence. Amen. So if you ever feel alone, you're not. You know, I know some people in here who get lonely, but Jesus is always with you. The Holy Spirit's always with you. Amen. Guiding you and directing you, lifting you up. Look around. See something beautiful in the clouds. Even in the midst of a storm, there's beauty. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He died to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. And we have that same spirit that gives us life.
Yes, we do.
And gives us strength. Now, like I said, normally we get to the end of my talk and we have this reading that we read. And it's usually up on the computer, up on the screen. But I messed up this morning. Actually, yesterday. I put next week's on the screen. And I printed up this week's notes that I was supposed to talk on, and they didn't match. And I didn't notice it till about 5 minutes before the service, and I went, wait a minute, this doesn't match. If I talk this and show that, it's not going to make any sense. Oops. But I handed it out to you. Now, I'm a terrible reader. I have dyslexia. And so what I want you to do is, you got, who's a good reader? Jody? Okay. Jody's going to read, try to read along with her. And start out where it says, redeemed from the curse. And you guys, really loud. I'm supposed to get down here. Excuse me. Karina tells me I have to come down and stand in the middle of you so that my microphone picks you up. Because I don't read too loud because I'm dyslexic. I say the wrong words and that messes you up. And I hate messing you up.
Pastor, are we going all the way to the bottom? Or just to the redeemed from the curse?
All the way to the bottom.
Okay. Galatians 3:13 says, I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. That means that the law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Sickness is a curse. And by the power of the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, I have set free from the curse of sickness. Sickness, you have no right to stay in my body. The chains and bonds of sickness and diseases have been broken over my life. Through Christ Jesus, they have no power to hurt or harm me. I am free from their bondage and captivity because Jesus made me sick so that I may be well. I am a child of the Most High God, and healing is the bread of God's children. The curse has been broken through the redemptive work of Jesus. Abram's blessings are also mine, and they include health and healing for my body. So as I have been redeemed from the curse, it no longer has power over me. Jesus has given me power, dominion, authority over sickness and disease. I choose to exercise that authority and boldly proclaim that I am free of sickness and disease. And I walk in healing. Oh, sorry. I am strong, healthy, and full of strength and vitality. And I have been redeemed from the curse. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Romans 8:2.
Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace.
We have forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. We have been given the authority. One of the problems we have is a lot of times we get caught up in that part of it. I know I do. Because I worked in the medical field for 43 years, I tend to fall into the natural and not walk in the spiritual. And one of the, I got a thing the other day, and it talked about faith. And it said one of the obstacles we have is to worrying about our faith, whether it's good enough, strong enough. And it was by a pastor who had some problems, and he finally realized that he was not getting better. And he started looking at what was getting in the way, and it was faith. Now that really sounds strange. Faith was getting in the way, but he was worrying about having enough faith. And because he was worrying about it, rather than enjoying it, it was an obstacle. And I thought about that with me when I had the cancer, the surgery, and they didn't get it all. And I thought, well, what's wrong with my faith? And I worried about it for a minute. But then I relaxed in the Lord, and I said, Lord, I give this to you. I give this to you. And I haven't worried about it. Amen. Now, do I take my medicine? Yep, every 6 months I go get a shot in the butt. Does that mean I don't have any faith? No, I do. I do. I just don't worry about it anymore. But I used to. And it was hard to let go of that worrying about it. Because I forget that Scripture tells me it's already been done. That's what we'll talk about next week, has been done. But we let obstacles get in the way. And that's human nature. We have to stop and realize it. That we have been set free from the curse of sin and death. We have been set free. And we just need to relax. And one of the things I've been doing lately, it's kind of a meditation. I have a recliner. And I sit in my recliner and I prop my head up just right so I can completely just relax. And I just let my mind feel the presence of God in my life. And I love it. Because I stop worrying. I stop trying. I stop trying to direct things. I stop trying to control things. And I'm a control freak, let me tell you. But you can just relax in the presence of the Lord, knowing that you have been set free. When it happens, you know, it's not like you don't think about everything you've done in your life that you messed up. You still remember it. But the hurt that was there isn't there. And people that have hurt you, the hurt that was there isn't there. And I think back now about the people in high school that I wanted it so hard to impress. And it's like, why? Why? It's not important. Because they're still going to be the same people, possibly. It doesn't matter. One guy threatened to beat me up. I said, you can beat me up. You're still a jerk. You're still a jerk. And he could. I mean, he could have easily trounced me. But another one of my friends, Connie, who was a large woman, she said, you lay a finger on him, you're dead. And he went, okay. We don't have to worry about trying to impress or get even. That's not our job. That's the Lord's. Now, I want you to close your eyes, bow your head, take a minute and ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this message? And it may not come to you right now. It may come to you during the week, but it will come. Would you pray with me? Living God, we thank you. Thank you that you want us to be in your presence. That's why you created us. You didn't create us to throw us off somewhere to the outer darkness, to just be there, live and die. You created us to be like you, to be in your presence, to rejoice and just look around at all that you have and that you are and realize how blessed, Lord, we are. It's awesome, Lord. Thank you for your creation and your creations, because each one of us are. Help us to recognize your presence in not only in ourselves, but in each other. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.